chapter 18, and we're going to read from verse 1, okay? And so, just to put it out there earlier, the title of my lesson is Let's Get to Work, okay? Let's get to work.
Come on.
So we're going to look at Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to 2. You guys are there?
Yeah.
Okay, Sean. All right. So it says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Okay, awesome. So reading this passage, we see that Paul is just coming from Athens, and we know how Acts 17, where most of us read when we first started studying the Bible, right? You know how Paul just talked about God and was sharing it with all the people in Athens that believed in different symbols and different things that they worshiped instead of the true God, right? And so Paul moves on here, and now he's in Corinth, and he meets up with Priscilla and Aquila, right? So this was a couple that Paul had a really, really deep relationship with. And they shared a lot of victories together in Christ. So let's hear a little bit about Priscilla and Aquila a little bit. So I did a little research on them, and I just pointed out a few things that makes the relationship and what makes them very substantial to Christianity. Right? And so Priscilla and Aquila, they provided hospitality for the church in Corinth. Right? So we read about 1 and 2 Corinthians. They played a huge role in having church in their house. So they were a they showed hospitality in a big way during that time to help the disciples there in Corinth. They were also taught and discipled by Paul. I mean, how would it feel if some of you guys were discipled by Paul?
All right.
Woo! That'd be exciting, right? But yeah, Paul was actually in their lives. He taught them spiritually, he helped them grow. And so that's what built the relationship that they had with each other. They always begged Paul to actually stay with them whenever he had to leave and go on other journeys. And so they really wanted Paul, and they were just eager for the word of God. And also, if you read some of Paul's letters, like Romans and 2 Timothy, what Paul does is he mentions Priscilla and Aquila as co-workers in Christ, lovers of the gospel, and faithful, right? Imagine Paul saying that about us, right? That's a pretty good reputation that they had.
Right.
However, this is the part I want to focus on that I think a lot of us, including myself, look right over this, right? And so in verse 2, I'm going to read here. It says, there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently moved from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome, and Paul went to see them. And because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Guys, they had a job.
Wow.
They were tent makers. Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila were actually tent makers. They had a day job.
Right.
Just think about that for a second. Is this the same Paul who wrote all the letters, most of the letters in the New Testament? Isn't it the same man that turned the world upside down?
No.
Isn't it the same man who some of y'all memorized the scriptures and some of your favorite scriptures are in? This same guy had a day job making tents.
All right.
And he was still able to change the world. Now, does that encourage us a little bit? Right? How could Paul still make such an impact, but yet this man still had a job? I mean, I thought disciples didn't have jobs. I thought disciples just went out, shared their faith. That's what they did all day, every day, 24/7. But Paul had a life, and he needed to support himself. And so this man had a job. But what made him make an impact? Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila, which they were tent makers, had an occupation, but their primary focus was spreading the gospel. And that should be in every disciple today.
Come on.
You know, no matter what job you're going to get or career, because I know everyone's in college right now and they're trying to look for something, and God has given you gifts.
Right.
But at the same time, while you're at your job, and even some of us have jobs now, within your job, you are on a mission. Your job is a mission field.
Right. Right.
And what is this telling us? This is telling us that God wants us to have vision for our workplaces.
Right.
God wants us to have vision. And if you don't have a job today, that's okay, because you still have a ministry, whether you're at your house, by yourself, or with your family. Because then your family is your ministry.
Right.
Right? And so we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, what that means. But let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10 to 12.
Come on, bro.
And we're going to look at what Paul has to say here about work and working for the ministry.
Come on, bro.
All right, so 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 10 to 12. Actually, I have to turn there myself. Right. Let me know when you guys are there. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 10 to 12. Okay. It says, and in fact, you love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life.
Yeah.
You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Right? So Paul's making this important, like, because actually Thessalonians were fired up. I mean, these guys were on fire for God. They were doing incredible things for God. But what happened was some of them started quitting their jobs. And they were like, all right, amen, everything for the kingdom, baby. Woo! We're going to lose our jobs. We're going to be broke. We're going to be poor. We're just going to make it happen.
All right.
And then Paul's like, hold on a second.
Right.
How is not living a life where you're taking care of yourself attractive to other people?
Right. Come on, bro.
How can people follow Christ when you're not taking care of your own responsibilities?
Right. Come on.
And I used to think like this. I used to think like, okay, I remember sitting with Rob, you know, 2 years ago, and I was like, hey, Rob, honestly, I don't, because I was looking for a job and I was applying and I wasn't hearing back from anybody in like almost 2 months. And I was like, you know what, Rob, I think God is making it clear. You know, I think God is like, he wants me to just focus on ministry and not do anything else.
Oh.
And I was like, so happy and everything, you know.
Come
and,
on.
You know, and then, you know, you get broke and the bills don't get paid and you're struggling and it's like, oh my gosh, what is going on, right? And so that's the same mindset that Thessalonians had. They were like, we're just going to drop everything and we're going to preach the gospel, which is awesome. It sounds amazing. But there's a problem with that, and Paul made it clear. And that was that we got to be winning the respect of outsiders.
Right.
Who's going to follow Christ looking at your life and you're not even taking care of yourself?
Yeah.
That's not attractive.
Right. Come on, bro.
That's not going to win people to Christ. You know, we got to live a life that we're eager to set an example for God in our life, in the things that we do, you know, and in our jobs, like Paul is saying here, right? And so I just want to share a story real quick. I remember I started working at the Bergen bookstore. So I used to go to Bergen Community College, and I worked there for about a year. You know, I remember when that was actually a job. I remember just being with Matt and Rob and everybody who was at Rob's mom's house, and then I got the email that I ended up getting the job. And I was like, wow, amen. So I ended up showing up on campus just 2 days later. And, you know, the only thing that was on my mind, though, was I cannot wait to start making money. That was the only thing. I just want to go home, get my job, do my hours, get my paycheck, toodaloo, I'm gone, okay? Right? And that was kind of like my mindset going into it, you know what I mean? And then, honestly, I got so engraved in that mindset that as I started working there, I was thinking about the mission wasn't even a thing. All I'm thinking about is, okay, when am I going to leave? Okay, I got 2 more hours left, you know? Like, I'm just thinking about getting out of there, right? And that's how we can fill out our jobs, like, keep it real, you know what I'm saying? As soon as I get there, I'm like dreading putting in the punch clock to clock in, you know? It's real. But man, I ended up realizing, like, wow. Like, it wasn't until after I started working, I started realizing that. And especially when I had this conversation with this one guy, right? So there's this guy, and some of you probably heard this story, but there was this one guy at work that I was working with, and honestly, I'm gonna be honest with you, he got on my nerves. Okay?
No way.
He kept doing stuff that just kept bothering me, bugging me. Hey, bro, what you doing tomorrow night, bro? You trying to go to this party, man? You trying to do this? You trying to do that? I'm just like, no, I don't roll like that. I don't roll like that. And I just kept, I feel like before I went to work, I had to prepare what I was going to say to this man, because I knew he was going to ask me something crazy. Right? I know some of us have somebody at work or a co-worker that's a little, you know, crazy. But it wasn't until he ended up pointing that out to me that I ended up realizing that I totally forgot that I'm on a mission. I totally forgot that I need to love this person.
Come on.
That I need to set an example, that my life needs to be an example for him. And, yeah, I don't know, that was a little funny. But in Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16 says, "You are the light of the world.
Come on, dude.
A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I want to ask you a question. What is your reputation at work? Are you just known as a cashier? Are you just known as someone who just kind of just clocks in? And do people know you're a Christian at work?
Come on, Charles.
You know, what is your reputation at work?
Right.
You know, are you viewing your workplace as a mission field or only a commission field?
Oh.
Is it only about money or is it trying to win people to Christ?
Come on, bro.
And what's funny is, this same guy that I worked with at BCC who were students there, guess who I ran into on campus at William Patterson? The same guy. I ran into this guy on campus. And guess what? He wants to study the Bible.
Okay?
But man, I could have studied with him at Bergen if I would have opened my mouth.
Right. Yeah.
But amen, God has a plan. But here's my point, guys. When we go to work, are we viewing our work field as the mission field as well?
Come on.
Are we seeing it in that way? And also I want to make something clear here about this term that I've been hearing recently. But anybody hear the term full-time ministry?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Okay, I honestly disagree with using that. And this is why. Full-time ministry makes disciples more inferior than others. And what I mean by that is, when we use the lingo full-time ministry, what happens is, we lose the true meaning behind what it means to be a full-time ministry. And what it means to be in a full-time ministry is being a disciple of Jesus the day you said Jesus was Lord.
Yeah.
You're in the full-time ministry, whether you get a paycheck or not.
Yeah.
You know, how would your evangelism change if you got paid for it?
Wow.
Would it change? Or if you didn't get paid, would you still be working just as hard?
Come on, bro.
We're all in a full-time ministry, but we're all in this together.
Amen.
The minute we said Jesus was Lord, we're in the full-time ministry. Amen?
Yeah.
And I truly believe that. And I truly believe that all you guys are in the full-time ministry. Amen?
Amen.
So let's continue to be in the full-time ministry. But I want to make that clear, because I don't know if people had a misconception of what that word actually means. You know? But anyways, amen. So I know I only got a few minutes left, but cool. So, all right. How can we be a light there? How can we be like Jesus? How can we get people to see Jesus in our workplaces? And I want to just share some things that I was able to do, was able to see God do through me while I was working. But I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29.
Amen.
Who agrees that work is one of the biggest places where you're going to see gossip?
Yeah.
Ooh, yes. There's a lot of gossip in the workplace, right? Okay, cool. Well, there's a great way for us to shine through that, right? So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Right? I mean, unwholesome talk is going on all over in our workplaces, or wherever we are, whether you're on campus, wherever. We have an opportunity to be like Jesus and shine to step in and be the one that's gonna build other people up.
Right.
Right. I remember even doing that for one of my managers at my job. I ended up finding out behind her back her birthday, and I ended up, once her birthday came around, I ended up writing her a card for her birthday. And trust me, these people at work do not like her. They do not. They're always like, oh, she do this, she do that, she don't give me this many hours, blah, 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 blah. We gotta make sure that we ain't those people. But I ended up getting her a card, and she was so grateful.
Wow.
And she knows that people talk about her behind her back. And every day I'm at work, I'm just like, man, she be taking heat. Yeah. But then I decided that, you know what, how can I be like Jesus?
Amen.
How can I build her up when everyone else is talking badly behind her back?
Stuff.
So I decided, yo, I'm gonna find out her birthday, and I wrote a card for her, and I gave it to her, and she was so grateful. Every time I go back to Berg, she's like, when are you coming back to work? I feel like I'm the only one that she really likes, you know? But that's being like Jesus.
Yeah,
that's being like Jesus.
Come on.
Right? Another one is Luke 17, verse 1.
Right.
And Jesus says here in Luke 17, verse 1, Jesus says to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. Right, so Jesus is talking about things that causes people to struggle. You know, one thing that I struggle with sometimes is being late. I'll keep it real with you. Being late is a big deal. You know, I remember coming to work late one time, and twice actually, and then my boss had to sit me down. Hey, come to my office, we need to talk about this. And we talked, and he was very graceful with me, and I was grateful, but I wasn't representing God in the best way. Yeah. And what happened is, this scripture, Jesus says, anyone that causes other people to stumble, woe to them. And what I was doing, I was causing the company to struggle. He had to end up doing the job for me when I was late for 20 minutes late. And it's like, wow, am I doing things that's causing people to stumble?
Right.
And Jesus says, woe to them. So what we could do, I mean, when we're on time, we can take that time off when it's time to go to ICMC. You know, when we're on time, when we're building that reputation of being a good worker, being someone who stands out more than anyone else, God is gonna bless that.
Yeah.
He's gonna make your boss give you all the time off you need. But you have to decide to be righteous.
Amen.
You have to decide to be setting an example for Christ. And God will take care of the rest. Don't worry about that.
Right.
You know, sometimes I strain back from stuff because I'm like, if I say this, I might lose my job. That just shows I'm not really trusting God.
Right.
Because if I decide to be righteous, whether I lose my job or not, I can walk away knowing that I was righteous.
Amen.
And that's the best thing you can grab away from the situation. Okay? All right, so last one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Says, make the most of every opportunity.
Right.
Amen. That's it. Make the most of every opportunity. Right. That's more in that scripture. We're going to focus on that. Right. So one of the use, if you have it, and it's okay, don't feel guilty if people don't know you're a Christian yet, or it's okay. Now we can use an opportunity to help them see that you are.
Right.
And so what was cool is that I ended up walking up to one of the bosses. I was like, hey, look, I'm part of this awesome Christian club on campus. And what we do is we're part of this club called Hope Worldwide. And actually, at the time, I was at Bergen when I said this, so it was Alpha Omega then. But I was like, hey, I'm part of this Christian club. You know, we're actually going to be doing we're trying to plan a bake sale. We're trying to collect food for the poor to feed the homeless when we're doing that event. And that was such a great opportunity for me to tell people, let people know that, hey, I'm a disciple. And what happened was my boss ended up getting a bag of canned food to donate.
Wow.
And it was like, all I did was say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm part of this club, and could you help? And he always asked me about it. Like, hey, how's it going? Hey, how was it when you fed the poor that day? And then the other manager who I gave a card to, she ended up giving me leftover Bergen t-shirts to kind of give to the poor.
Wow.
And I was like, oh,
come
my
on.
Gosh.
Wow.
Make the most of the opportunity.
Yeah.
At the same time, you can tell people you're a Christian, and also people can use you to change the world. And they could hopefully be disciples one day as well, right? But we have to take advantage of the opportunity that God throws at us.
Yep.
They're all over the place. And we're gonna be able to make an impact. And our lights are gonna shine, and people are gonna wanna be disciples because of us.
Amen.
Amen. So that's my practicals, and that's hope that encouraged you. And Let's win the world for Christ. Amen. Mark's gonna come up.
Amen. Come on. You need your laptop? There you go. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, where you work? Where you work? Where you working at, man? You working at BK, McDonald's, on campus, man. But no, thank you so much, Charles. I really appreciated how Charles really took that idea in the scripture of tent maker and really talks about, hey, Paul, this dude needed to work like all of us, right? He needed to work to be able to do the real work, which was spreading the gospel, right? And so, again, that's our title for tonight is Let's Get to Work. Amen? So I'm picking up here starting in verse 7. And right before verse 7, we see here that Paul turns to the Gentiles. And praise God that he did, because this is the beginning of us. Yeah. We're Gentiles. This has so much to do with you. This right here, that Paul makes a decision and says, okay, they're not open. Let's keep going. Let's go to the Gentiles. And because of that, we've been given eternal purpose too. A purpose that the world is dying for right now. That you possess as a disciple of Christ. And so we don't gather here tonight as people confused about life or our purpose. No, we gather here tonight with rock solid, ironclad confidence that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose from the dead. He actually rose from the dead with absolute confidence. And that you're not confused about your life anymore if you're in Christ. Right. Check you out. Literally, check you out. You're helping save the world. How could we not get to work?
Right.
With that sort of identity, and that's going to kind of be what I talk about, is Charles is focusing on tent making, how while Paul was at his earthly job, but I'm going to talk about more, how did Paul get to work on the mission field? Amen? Okay, so again, we've been given purpose, and as a disciple, you sit here right now with an amazing life. I mean, what a call you have. And, you know, if this isn't your purpose in your life, or if this isn't where you're at right now, my question to you is, what are you waiting for? This is for you. This call is for everyone. Jesus is waiting for you to accept this call as well. But let's dive right in here to verse 7. We're going to read 7 to 17. Amen? All right. Let's pick up verse 7 here. It says, then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. He said, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a whole year and a half, teaching them the word of God. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him into court. This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, if you Jews are making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter for yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things. So he had them ejected from the court, and then they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, and beat him in front of the court. But Gallio showed no concern whatever. Okay, lots just happened there, right? So what did Paul do when he faced opposition and abuse? He turned to new people, right? He moved on and he turned to the Gentiles, and we need to do the same. You know, what if Paul didn't turn and keep going? Crispus and his whole household would not be saved if Paul didn't make that decision. And, you know, these are some kind of unexpected people, synagogue leaders, to become disciples, right? Imagine that. And so Sosthenes was beaten and was also a synagogue leader, and it seems later becomes a disciple and is the same Sosthenes that co-authors 1 Corinthians. Right? So you never know who you're going to meet after you get denied. Right? You might face some no's. Paul actually faced abuse, but he kept going. And Sosthenes and his whole household became a Christian. And guys, we must do the same. You will meet unopened people, but we must keep going because there is a household waiting to be saved. A household waiting. You know, after this event, Paul receives this amazing encouragement from God. He receives this vision. And the Lord says to him in verse 10, it says, "Do not be afraid, Paul. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." You know, God knew that Paul needed this encouragement for all the abuse and opposition he was facing, right? God was completely aware of what Paul was facing, and God here is reminding Paul of his presence with him, and he's saying to him, "I am with you. Paul, I am with you. I know what you're going through, but I am with you, Paul." And for us tonight, you know, you might sit here and read this and say, you know, I wish God would do something like this for me. I wish I could be walking on campus one day and just, "Shauna, I am with you." I mean, that'd be pretty cool, right? If we had an experience like that. I mean, that'd be life-changing. If you had God actually write and say something to you, right? But guess what? You have that.
Yeah.
You have that. You have the Word of God. You have more of a vision in your hands right now and more encouragement than Paul ever had.
Yeah, that's true.
Right now, sitting in your lap. And we have more of a complete vision of God's plan of reconciliation because God preserved the Scriptures very purposely for us.
Yeah.
For people that couldn't walk with Paul and for Jesus. I mean, it's an honor. People have died, have burned alive over preserving the Scripture that you have in your hands.
Right.
And so we all, just as Paul obeyed the vision, we got to all learn to love the Bible. Learn the Bible front to back. Constantly fall more in love with the Bible and God's vision. And God's, again, He's given us this purpose. He's purposely given us His Word and His precious words for constant encouragement, constant reinforcement, constant amazement of His love and what He's done for you.
Yeah.
Paul needed the vision. We need the Bible.
Right.
God's vision for the world is found in Scripture. And are you letting the Bible give you vision daily? Daily inspiration. Do you need help learning how to read the Bible more effectively or powerfully? Right? That's a good question to ask yourself. Are you letting the good news of Jesus just wash over you every day and remind you that, man, you not just be forgiven of some of your sins, but all your sins are washed away.
Right.
If you're in Christ, all of it's gone. And when God looks at you, He sees Jesus, righteousness. But if we're not in our Bibles, if we're not connecting with that, we don't have a lot to get to work about. Where are you going to find your motivation? And odds are, if you're not sharing, it's because you're not connecting. You're not connecting with the Bible. You're not connecting with the vision that Paul connected with and this absolute gift of grace you've received as a Christian. And again, Paul isn't sharing because someone forced him to. No one ever said to Paul, "Hey, Paul, how's it going sharing your faith, man?" He's not sharing out of guilt. He's not sharing because it's inspiring or radical or cool. Paul is preaching, persuading, and sharing because he knows he has a message worth sharing.
Yeah.
Do you know that tonight? As you sit here, do you know that you possess the message that God wants to save the world with? Right? Paul never had to be reminded of this because, and he never had to be reminded of sharing his faith because his life was all about faith. He knew Jesus. That rocked his world. And because of that, of course he still worked. Of course he made tents. But this dude was like, "We got to get to work for the gospel. People don't know about Jesus." Amen?
Amen.
And we have the same gospel. This message has not been dumbed down. You have the same Bible, same gospel, same Jesus that Paul preached and was flogged for all the time.
Yeah.
That's what you have. And the same message of the gospel that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us and gave us the opportunity not just to be forgiven of sin, but to be righteous as Jesus and to live for eternity. That's the message we have. And so Paul needed to connect with the vision. We need to connect with the Bible and to continue to do that. And so does Paul obey this vision? Yes, he does, right? He stays there for a year and a half teaching the word of God. That's a long time, right? He obeys the vision. And I love what God says to Paul here. He says, Paul, there are many people in this city, right? He encourages him, look, there's people here right now, Paul, that are going to be my people, right? And guys, for us, there's many people around us who could make it on our campuses, but too many times we're silent. Too many times I've walked by people that I know go to bed at night crying for purpose, right? There was one day I was at the top of University Hall. I go on Facebook and I see the most trending thing on Facebook is about my school. It wasn't a hoax. That was the most trending thing. It's about this girl who committed suicide. I've actually worked with some disciples and she was suing the university. And I was standing there just looking at campus, just thinking, if that's just one girl making national news, how hurting is my campus?
Yeah.
How hurting, how lost are people every day that I can just walk by? And it scared me to the core. And just 20 seconds of courage can save someone's life. 20 seconds of you just saying, they need to know Jesus. Hey, excuse me. Life changing.
Right.
Just that moment. That's what we have to do. We have to obey the vision just as Paul did. Keep sharing with people everywhere we go, every town, every city, every workplace. God has people in your workplace, in your city for us to find, but we must persevere in planting seeds, watering them to show that we are truly disciples. Amen? You guys with me?
Yeah.
We're going. We're not done yet either. So, and it's not because we have to do this. We have to keep sharing. It's because we get to. We get to work, right? We don't have to. We get to. You know, you were chosen for a reason. You were called out of darkness for a reason. Think about your life before you became a Christian. Your life was meaningless. You possessed no meaning whatsoever. And now, as a disciple, you do. And because of that, we get to work. And we should. We should get to work every day. And praise God that we have a message worth pouring every ounce of our lives into.
Yeah.
That you never have to wake up another morning questioning, what am I doing with my life? You don't have to have that ever again, right? And we should be the most hardworking people on the planet. We should. And why is that? Is it because we're better than other people? No. But it's because we have Jesus. We have Jesus. You're adopted. You've been chosen by Him. You're handpicked. God does not make mistakes. You are handpicked. Again, check you out. Check you out. You're handpicked. I want to give you an example of this just to kind of illustrate this. You know, imagine you're working at a job. You know, you're dressing up every day. You're going to work. You're driving your car. You sit at your desk. You're just a normal employee doing a work job, a desk job. And one day, the CEO, the founder of the company comes in. Randomly, you've never met the guy, you've only heard about him, right? And he comes up to you and says, hey, so-and-so, I just want to let you know, I want to move you up to manager, right? And you're just sitting there kind of confused, and you're asking, why? Okay, and he just says, I just believe in you. I really believe in you. I trust that if I give you this honor, that you're going to do your job, right? He gives you that spot of manager, you're doing that for a couple months, and then a month later, he comes back in, and you're doing all right. You're doing your thing. He comes back in and say, hey, you're doing great. I just want to say something else. I want you to be now regional manager of the whole East Coast. How's that for you? Does that sound good? And you're like, yeah, why? He's, I believe in you. I believe in you. This is the task that I want you to do. This is what I've called you to do, right? And so you're like even more amazed. You're like, holy cow, check me out. I'm regional manager. Let's go. I'm more than Michael Scott. I got it going on, right? So, And then he comes in. You know, you got this whole group of people you're working with now. You're the leader of the place. And then he comes in. 3 months later, he says, hey, I just want to talk to you. Come on here. Hey, I need you to be CEO. I need you to take this company, and I'm literally handing it over to you.
Good mercy.
Right? In that moment, you definitely have something to get to work for now. And if you didn't, oh my goodness, would you be ridiculed by the whole company? Hey, dude, you're kind of CEO. Do you think you could maybe, like, I don't know, like, have some meetings? You know, like, you're kind of CEO. Like, do you think you could maybe help us out? We're kind of confused. Like, you now have something to get to work for, right? You know, in 2 Corinthians 6, Paul's writing here to the church in Corinth, which he's planting right now. And he says, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. And for you to become CEO and then totally just forget the task, that's receiving that position in vain. And for you to receive God's grace, to be cleansed by Him, to have Jesus take every ounce of your sin on the cross, and then to not get to work is taking God's grace in vain. And God is very serious about that. Paul is very serious about that. And we must be careful that we don't do that in our lives, because that has consequences in your life, in your relationship with God, and the people in your life that are trying to get to know God. Does that make sense? You're CEO. You're in on everything in the whole universe as a Christian. You're in on everything. That's what you possess. And I want to say it to encourage you more than anything, that you have honor and standing, not just on earth, but in the heavenly realms. You're in God's family. You're equal with Jesus because of the blood that He poured out for you. I just want to close out here with this passage, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Again, Paul's writing here. I want to close out this passage because, again, this is Paul's letter to the church later in Corinth. Right? So now we're kind of flash-forwarding here. And I read this the other day, and it inspired the heck out of me. He says here, 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 9. For I am the least of all the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. Right? He says, His grace to me was not without effect. He says, I worked harder than all of them. Right? But as Paul's saying this, to me it doesn't come off boastful. He's just boasting in what he's received. He's not saying, look at me, I'm awesome. He's saying, no, I work harder because His grace to me was not without effect. I work harder than all of them because I'm fully aware of what I have that's been handed to me, CEO, Paul, follower of the Savior of the world, right? And in the same way, that is the title that you hold, right? Emmanuel, follower of the Savior of the world. Patricia, follower of the Savior of the world, right? Just keep going, right? Chisholm, follower of the Savior of the world. Gabe, follower of the Savior of the world. Check you out. That's who you are. I can't say it enough. Paul knew his identity, right? He knew why he was going to work with tent making. He also knew why he was going to work with disciple making. Paul knew God was with him. He knew there were people in that city. He knew he had a message worth sharing. And he knew that his identity was Paul, follower of the Savior of the world. And for that, he got to work. And for that, we must get to work. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen.
Thank Mark and Charles again.